Jesus, I ask that above all your presence would be known and experienced here this morning. Jesus, I pray that you would take center stage. I pray that you would transform our lives. I pray that you would infuse us with courage when we need it the most. I pray that we would sense your presence when we need it the most. And that we would have your wisdom, wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit when we need it the most. And God, I pray for it today because I know we need it today. And I just ask that you would open our ears to hear the word, to hear the message that you want to speak to us, God. And let's just pray. You don't have to do it out loud. But let's just pray together this beautiful prayer, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And he leads me beside quiet waters. And he restores my soul. He guides me in the right paths for the sake of his name, which is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. As I've said many times before, my mother used to recite this to me when I would go to bed every night, this and the Lord's Prayer. So it was some of the first scriptures that I heard. And of course, back then it was always in the King James language. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And when she would say that over me every night, as a little kid, I thought there were three people that were after me. Surely, goodness, and mercy. Thank you. That response got what the joke deserved. I appreciate that. But God's goodness and mercy, or also translated love, are two very powerful things about God's character. And the first thing I want to point out is that when this verse says, they will follow me, the word is actually pursue. They will pursue me, which to me is a little bit more intentional and a little bit more intense. So you can just follow someone, but if you pursue someone, and it can go one of two directions. I mean, it can be like the stalker status, and you're like, you don't want someone pursuing you, but it's also that kind of intentional going after, you know, that intentional someone that maybe you're trying to connect with, but out of love, you keep intentionally pursuing that person because you want to connect with them, right? You want to be with them. And so in a way, we see that there is a pursuit of God upon our lives. And I think that's a powerful and under-talked about nature of this relationship with God. Have you ever been looking for someone? Have you ever been looking for someone and tried to find them? Have you ever lost your kid in a store and you started looking for your child, right? I thought David was with you. No, I thought David was with you. And then you go searching for David in Burlington Coat Factory, for example, just hypothetically. And you wonder where he went, you know, and you do. You start looking, right? You're pursuing, right? You're pursuing because you're looking to find someone. And sometimes as a kid, I remember when I would get separated from my mom, basically when I would wander off. And a lot of times it was the grocery store because the grocery store we went to, the guy at the bakery always gave kids free cookies. And I just thought that was the best. So I'd go up there and he'd be like, oh, how can I help you, little man? And I'd be like, you got one of those free cookies? And he always had this person like, yeah, I got, which kind do you want? And so I'd always be wandering out and you'd think my mom would know where I'm at, but maybe she didn't care, I'm not sure. But I'd always get this panic feeling like, where's my mom? Why isn't she there? So I'd start looking for her, you know, and I'd start walking around the store, looking down the aisles, and then at some point I'm thinking, she's looking for me, right? And you wonder if you passed in the aisles, you know, like how long should I wait and look? Because what if they're going past at the same time? And so it would just seem to take forever. And my hack that I did, which my mom did not appreciate at all, is that I would go to customer service and I would say, I've lost my mother. Can you please page her on the intercom? And they would say, sure, what's her name? And then she would hear her name. And oh, my mom hated that. And I was like, well, then find me next time. You know. But I realized in that kind of pursuit of someone else in a store that when you're both pursuing, right, sometimes you can miss each other. And the best thing you could do is just stop if you know that person's looking for you. So if I could have confidence that my mom was looking for me, I could just stay in one place knowing she would eventually find me. And I think about that when it comes to God, because a lot of times we're searching for God, but we forget that God is searching for us. And if we would just stop and be still, and maybe even take it a little further, maybe the customer service intercom could be like our prayer where we finally just say, God, where are you? I need you. But that confidence that God is looking for us makes a difference. Jesus said that, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We know that Jesus said, I came because God is looking for you. So the God that we are looking for is looking for us. The God that we're supposed to seek after is seeking us. Jesus, that yes, we're supposed to follow, is also following or pursuing us. And I think that that is a word of hope and encouragement this morning. Jesus told parables to explain. He said, it's like this. Say you're this lady living in a house by yourself, this widow, and you've lost a coin, and you want to find that coin, and you just tear up the house looking for this coin, like you leave no pillow unturned. And when you find this coin, there's great rejoicing, and you don't give up. There's this intentional, intense pursuit until the coin is found. And he said, that's what it's like with God. God loves you so much that he's pursuing you like a lost coin. He wants you to be found. He wants that joy of knowing that you belong to him. Now, of course, today some of us don't understand that parable because, you know, according to one of my sons, you shouldn't look for anything less than $15. It's not worth it. So any coin would not be searched for with that kind of vigor in any house that I am aware of. But I know one thing that would. We could change the parable and say, suppose there was someone and they lost their phone charger. Would they not tear up the house and go through everything until they found it? Of course, if I need to know where my phone charger is, I know where it can be found. But there are things that we look for intensely because we really want them. He tells another parable, Jesus, of a shepherd and a sheep, picking up on this imagery that says, a sheep wanders off, the good shepherd will go, will leave the 99 behind and will go and make a careful search, meaning pursue that lost one until it is found and then bring them back. I don't know what difference that makes in your life today, but if you are seeking God, to just simply know today that God is seeking you. That if you're trying your best to follow Christ, and we all are, you know, to some extent, to know that God is following us with love and with goodness. And so I want to talk about those two things for a minute. I love the way the message puts it. It says, your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. That's because the two Hebrew words used here are tov and hesed. Tov is a beautiful word that's used in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, to say how God created the world. And it means both good and beautiful. It can be translated either way. So it's good to know that everything God creates is good, and if it's good, it's beautiful, and that everything that is truly beautiful is good. So your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. And then the word for love is hesed. And hesed gets translated mercy sometimes, or faithfulness, or loving kindness, because it's a word that means the strong, steadfast love of God that expresses itself in kindness, in faithfulness, and in mercy. And that's why it used to be goodness and mercy, and now it's goodness and love, beauty and love, interchangeable. Tov and hesed mean goodness and beauty, love and mercy. Those are the things that are following us. Those are the things that are not just kind of there in the background, but they're actually pursuing us. Those are the things that are following us in everything we do and in everything we say, so that no matter what happens here and in front of us and where we go, no matter what it looks like in front of us, we know that goodness and beauty and love are coming up behind, and that those things are going to win the day. That those things are going to have the final say. That's really what our life is going to be about. Because even when it doesn't look like it, even when we run ahead of God, if that's even possible, but in some ways in our minds, we think we can run ahead of God, right? Even if we run ahead of God, we know that God's goodness and beauty and mercy and love are constantly, constantly pursuing us in everything we say and everything we do. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says that God has made everything beautiful in his time. God is making everything beautiful in its time. We are God's workmanship, his work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for us to do, Ephesians 2. There is a beauty to everything that God has created. And a beauty is not something that we assign. And the world has tried to say, this is what is beauty, this is not what is beauty, all because they want to sell us certain products. But there is a true beauty that is inherent in everything that God created. So again, you may have heard this, but I believe it's always good to hear it again. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. You need to know that because God has created you. And even though you don't feel beautiful, and even though things aren't beautiful, that is the trajectory of your life. That is the beauty of God that is following you. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you're beautiful. Tell them you're beautiful. Derek's like, I know I'm beautiful. Because God has made us beautiful, right? And in the end, he's going to make everything beautiful. He's also making everything good. We know that from Romans 8, verse 28. And in all things, God works to the good of those who love him who have been called according to his purpose. God is taking everything, absolutely everything in our life, and God is making it good. There is nothing that God is wasting. God doesn't will every bad thing that happens. God doesn't will it, but he doesn't waste it. And there are times when we are tested. And there are times when things are allowed to happen to us. And there are times when things just happen and we don't know why. And there are times when things happen because of the existence of evil and the free will of mankind that God does not will, but he won't waste it. He can even make beautiful things out of dust. Amen? He can create beauty out of everything. He can make everything come together for good. He can transform it. And you don't transform something by ignoring it or denying it. I'm not talking about that at all. But when you honestly acknowledge it and you let the light of Christ shine upon it, God can take everything in our life and he can make it good. And there's a trajectory of our life that God is making something good out of your life. God is making something beautiful out of your life because his tov, his beauty and goodness is pursuing you every single day of your life. And I sometimes think, man, at the end of a rough day, if I would just sit down, stop running in circles around the store of my life, and let God catch up to me and just receive all of his goodness, all of his beauty at the end of the day, it would transform me. God's love is constantly pursuing us. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Isn't that a beautiful verse? God loves us with an everlasting love, a love that doesn't quit, a love that doesn't fail, a love that doesn't give up. And he's drawing us. He's seeking us. He's pulling us towards himself with kindness. With kindness. Just remember, friends, that God's love treats you with kindness and with mercy, meaning forgiveness for when we've messed up, and with faithfulness, meaning it doesn't quit on us. It doesn't go away. It never leaves. Your beauty and your love, they chase after me every day of my life. And then the next part of the verse says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what did that mean for David? So I started there thinking, well, when King David wrote this, what would that mean for him, the house of the Lord? Well, it would mean the temple. That's where the presence of God was. So the presence of God was located in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, with the Ark of the Covenant. And that's where, you know, David and the people of God experienced the most powerful experience of God's presence. So for him to say, I want to dwell there forever, he's kind of saying, you know, I long to take shelter in the shadow of your wings in another psalm. Like, I long to just be in that place where I sense your presence all the time. But David also knew something prophetically, that God was everywhere. He says in Psalm 139, if I go to the heavens, God, you were there. If I go to the depths of the earth, you were there. If I go to the far end, the far corners of this world, you are there. It's almost like, God, I can't get away from you. Everywhere I go, there you are. Your presence, you know, is with me. Your presence pursues me. And remember, David knew what it was like to be pursued by his enemies. He was on the run most of his life, whether it was from King Saul, who was trying to kill him and his men, and then he finally became king. And then, you know, as he got older, his own sons, like, wanted to find him and kill him. And he was on the run most of his life. He knew what it was like to be pursued by enemies. But he also knew that God's goodness and beauty and love were chasing after him every day of his life. And because of that, he could say that I can dwell in the presence of God. I can dwell in the presence of God, not only forever, but right here, right now. What I'm trying to say today is this: things will be good in your life. Everything will be beautiful. You will be loved, and you are a child of God forever. In Isaiah 49, verse 15, the Lord says this to his people, Jerusalem: "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. For I have engraved you," or tattooed you, "on the palms of my hand." We who are parents know that. It would be impossible to not love our children. Could be possible we don't like them at times, but it's impossible not to love them. And with God, God even says it might be possible. It actually might, though a mother may forget, which means neglect or, you know, not love. I mean, it is possible humanly that something could happen. But God says it's not possible for me. As much as you know of your love for your children as humans, you know, magnify that even more, because it's not possible for me to forget my love for you. So this is important. How would our lives change if we believe these statements here on the screen this morning? That things will be good, that everything will be beautiful, that you will be loved, and that you are a child of God forever. I think it would go a long way to transforming our minds, our hearts, our words, our actions. You know, I don't think it's a magic formula that would cure us, but I have to believe it would be a discipline that would begin the process of healing if we reminded ourselves of this and believed it every day. Healing from fear and anxiety and doubt and dread. And again, sometimes it's not about taking those things away, but it's about where do we find enough light to just keep going. And so I think I have a hard time believing all of this all the time, but I just told myself this morning, if I believed even an ounce of this to be true, if I believed even one percentage of this to be true, I could act on that. And by acting on that, I think I would be moving towards the light in a good direction. Charles Spurgeon put it like this: "A servant abides not in the house forever, but the son or daughter abides forever. While I am here on this earth, I will be a child at home with my God. The whole world shall be his house to me. And when I ascend to the upper chamber, I shall not change my company, nor even change the house. I shall only go to dwell in the upper story of the house of the Lord forever." That is powerful. That is powerful. So in a way, we recognize and realize, because of this truth, that we can live, and in many ways are living, in the presence of God, in the house of God forever, right here and right now. We don't have to wait for this to happen. When we say, "I will dwell in the house of God forever," we are a child of God right now. We are at home in God's house right now. We can live into these realities right now. Because remember what the psalm proclaimed: "Even in the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, because you are with me." You are there in the darkest of times. You are there in the saddest of times. You are there in the hardest of times. Because when the presence of God becomes real, the valleys of darkness become light. Enemies can become friends at the table prepared for us in the wilderness. Nothing can defeat us because we are anointed with power and authority. We lack nothing because our cup overflows. When we begin to see the world with more generous and more loving eyes, we begin to see that the whole earth is God's kingdom, that the whole world is the house of God, that heaven is even right here and right now, and with goodness and the love of God standing like bodyguards on either side of us. That is how we walk. That is how we live, in the power and the goodness and the beauty, in the love and the light that God brings to us. And it doesn't mean that everything around us has to change. We can still have the same job. We can still have the same house. We can still have the same family. We can still have the same relationships. We can still have the same emotions that we have inside of us. It doesn't mean that any of that goes away. But somehow, in the midst of that, in the middle of that, God's presence shows up and it changes. One of the times I felt this the most powerfully was in Mexico several years ago. And we were with a team of people there, and my friend Pastor Roberto asked us to go to a small church near the border, and the room was very small. The room could only hold like 10 people, and there was like 6 people in the church. There were just families that had come from another area, really poor, really struggling. And so we come with this team, and there's not enough room even in the room for us to be. And so we decide, well, there's a dirt road. We'll just go on the dirt road. We'll make a circle. We'll sing some songs. We'll share our testimonies. We'll try to encourage this small little church of 6 people. And so we there on the dirt road, where we played soccer and dogs are passing and cars are running, with none of the things that you would think that you need to have a worship experience. We just began to sing, and we began to share. And it was noisy, and it was dusty, and there were all kinds of distractions. But then at one point, towards the end of the time together, I just remember this old lady came forth. Actually, I don't know how old she was. She might have been an angel. She was really kind of an ageless thing. And she just stepped forward and just began to sing. Just began to sing. No mics, no television, no cameras, no song sheets, no translation. She just began to sing. And it felt like the Shekinah glory presence of God just started to glow in that place. Like she just transformed that entire dirt road into a little piece of heaven. And I kind of believe that that's what God wants for all of us. For me, I found that if I pray this prayer, recite Psalm 23, in whatever situation I'm in, that my mind kind of goes back to that place. And so I'm wondering, if we could be women and men who might bring a little piece of that heaven to the office where we work, or to the house where we live, or to the friend, or in the car as we drive, or as we go about our chores, or whatever it is. If we just said, God, your beauty, your love, they're pursuing me every day of my life. And I am your child, so therefore I know that right now I am in your house, in your presence, now and forever.